everyone. Welcome to this week's call. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Today is December 9th, 2009.
How's it going, Kurt?
Call. We're going to talk about good morning. No, it's good morning. Let's see. Good evening.
Wake up.
Or something like that. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Yeah, I'm trying to get with the program. It's just one of those days, middle of the week.
Oh, come on.
So we're going to talk about, what's that?
Bust it wide open. Let's get done.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. You bet. Let's spend some time, so the next 50 minutes, talking about some things that you can apply this week. Cutting-edge information on persuasion and influence, and we'll take questions about what we talked about today and things you're running into out there in the real world. Recent study I was reading about listening skills is that when you're talking to someone, they pretty much decided in the first 15 seconds what they're going to say to you. They've quit listening, and they're moving on. So you got to be very careful about how people listen to you and how you listen to them. Now, the interesting thing about listening, you can roll your eyes all you want, but here's the reality. Top persuaders, top negotiators tend to listen three times more, tend to ask three times more questions, and have the ability to help people persuade themselves, and it's through listening. Now, here's the challenge. We all think we're pretty good at listening, and that is not true. You know how to hear, we know that, but to really, truly listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart is something that we all need to work on, that we all have never arrived. One of the top trainings for Fortune 500 companies is listening training. Now, they call it other things, but you get a lot of people upset and feedback listening. I don't know, but when you look at divorce and problem with businesses and a lot of these other issues out there, view from country to country, culture to culture, a lot of it comes back just to listening. So it's one of those things that will return to you tenfold if you really can listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart. Now, we've talked about before, you're listening with your eyes, you're picking up on nonverbal behavior. Your heart, you're kind of listening for feelings, and of course your ears, more than just the words, but how people are saying things, will go a long, long way. And no one's ever taught you how to do it. In school, we learn how to hear, write things down, and regurgitate it on a test. But I just can't tell you this enough. When you really, truly learn how to listen to somebody, not only do they open up more, not only do you demonstrate more empathy, but persuasion becomes a lot easier. Most people are so concerned about what to say next, so concerned about giving them another point, so concerned about vomiting another feature or benefit, they miss everything they need to know to persuade them. And this is human nature. Everybody does this. I mean, you try it. Well, next time someone says, hey, how you doing? Say, oh, rotten. Well, they'll probably say, oh, that's good. Have a good day. They just did it because that's what they were supposed to do. They weren't truly listening. And when people sense that you can listen, that you care, that you have empathy, the doors of persuasion will swing wide open. And again, the challenge here is no one's ever taught you how to do it. Now, the big challenge is this. We're always thinking about a response. And I always say when you're on the phone or even face-to-face or in a meeting, take notes, things you want to say next. Take notes of what they're saying. That's a sign of good listening. Some people aren't good listeners because they aren't good at concentrating. Somebody walks by, or a beautiful woman or a beautiful man walks by, they look. Something happens, their cell phone rings. One is jumping to conclusions. Well, they're not interested. And that all comes back to prejudging. But let me tell you something. As I study great persuaders, one thing that just will suck the life out of you, out of your presentation, and guarantee you're not going to persuade somebody, is when you prejudge them. Well, they're not the type of person. They'll never do it. They're not interested. They're not the type. How do you know? Everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. Everybody you meet face-to-face or over the phone deserves your full attention and your full energy. Because if you wing it, you've lost it anyway. Sure, you might be right half the time, but you never know. I hear so many stories of people testing people to see if they're going to get prejudged. The people wearing jeans and a t-shirt going into the Ferrari dealership to see how they're treated. Got a brother-in-law that owns a very large construction company. He comes over, flies to the United States from Hawaii every year to buy very large construction equipment. And they wear dirty, ratty shorts and working in Seattle, near Seattle, Washington, for a very kind of an upscale furniture store. Scandinavian furniture is what it was. And they're all talking. There's no one in the store. All the salespeople are talking. And here comes this almost looks like kid. His hair wasn't combed. He was wearing the sweater. He was kind of skinny. Didn't look very successful. And nobody wanted to help him because he probably couldn't afford the furniture. Well, it was Bill Gates. Okay? And it was the largest order the store had ever had. And it was the rookie that got the order because he was the only one that was willing to talk to them. So let me give you the formula. You really want to be good at this. You really want to open the doors of persuasion. Remember, when you truly can listen, the doors of persuasion will swing wide open. That is critical. So here are your goals. Number one, undivided attention. Undivided attention. They're the most important person around. If your cell phone dings at you, if it rings, what are you telling them about the conversation? If you can't maintain eye contact, you're looking at all the people around you, keep looking at your watch, what are you telling them? If call waiting beeps at you or whatever it does, and you put them on hold, what does that say? Now, every once in a while it might be okay, it might be an emergency cell phone call you might have to take, you might have to do call waiting, but if you're always doing it, or if you've met them for the first time, I'd be very, very careful. And you've been in a situation before where you're talking to someone, their phone rings, and they answer it, and you're feeling kind of annoyed, kind of awkward. What do? You look at them? Do you listen? Do you play with your phone? Be very careful. Undivided attention. They're the most important person. Treat them that way. It'll pay big dividends. The next one is eye contact. Eye contact. Now, eye contact's an interesting thing. If you're looking for a number, you should probably be looking at them in their eyes around 70% of the time. If you look at somebody 100% of the time, not only will it freak them out, but it means one of two things. You either are very angry and upset at them, or you're falling in love. Right? There have been studies with perfect strangers. Perfect strangers, male and female, about the same age. They're strangers. And what they do is they have them put chairs next to each other, and they have them look at each other's eyes, long gazes, and they start having amorous feelings towards each other. Okay? How much is that? Strangers feeling these love feelings because of eye contact. Now, when you get really good at eye contact, you can watch their pupils. When pupils dilate, that tends to indicate they're interested. Or they're interested in you or what you're talking about. In Asia, they teach all their salespeople just to look at their eyes. If their eyes are dilating, you can't hide something like that. They know that they're interested. And that's something that you can take a look at. Eyes. Now, even with the eyes, you can tell if people are lying. You can tell a lot of things. You've heard it before. Eyes are the window of the soul. And it goes a long way just by maintaining eye contact. If you're nervous, you look at the bridge of their nose. And another thing with eye contact that's really interesting is if you want to know if it's connected, you look at one eye. And when you switch over to the other eye and they do the same, there's a connection there. If that doesn't happen, there is no connection. Okay, that's eye contact. I could spend all day on eye contact, but that's powerful. Main thing is eye contact. Next one is sincere interest. Showing sincere interest. You care. You're concerned. You're a consultant. Remember, as persuaders, you're problem solvers. That is what you do. You are problem solvers. Next one we know is you need to keep the conversation going or ask lots of questions. Very important. Great persuaders are consultants. They ask questions. You are a doctor of persuasion. You should always answer a question with a question. If you're not sure where to go next, you ask an open-ended question. Again, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. And people get all concerned. Now, that they will come across as insincere. But if you've connected with the person, they appreciate the questions. If they consider you the expert, they appreciate the questions. Go back to the doctor example. When you go, let's say you went to the doctor, and you think you have the swine flu, and you're not
because he's not paying attention. He doesn't know.
It would, wouldn't it? See, here's the thing. Even if the doctor knew it was swine flu, even though the doctor was right, it doesn't matter. The doctor still has to spend the time to ask the questions, A, to find out for sure that's what it is, and B, because that's the person's expectations. So when you're going into a foreclosure situation and you already know the answer, it doesn't matter. It's good that you know the answer. You still have to spend the time to interview and ask questions and build that relationship. That's just part of the process. You've got to ask the right questions at the right time. And that keeps the conversations going. And again, when you're the expert, you can't ask too many questions. I mean, for the most part. You're interviewing, you're finding out what's going on, the best way to help them, the best way to serve them. Asking those questions. The next one is, after you've asked that question, or if there's a lull in the conversation, use silence. Silence is so powerful. When you try this out with family and friends, when you're silent, people will start just saying things. They'll start talking more because they don't like the silence. You look at great interviewers like Larry King or Barbara Walters. You watch Barbara Walters. She can get anybody to cry. She can get anybody to cry. Part of it is you watch. She'll sit there and she won't say much. She'll say, well, tell me about your childhood. And they'll go, this and this and this. And then she'll turn her head a little bit. She'll go, really? And she'll be silent. And they go, well, yeah, I have some problems and this and that. And she'll go, tell me more, or something. And they'll be silent. And they go, okay, I took drugs and I killed people or whatever it is. They'll open up, they'll start crying because there's a power in silence. There's some great power there. So just after they're done with the question, use a little silence because they'll probably keep going. And they'll keep going. And when they keep going, those are the true answers that you're looking for. The next thing is always pause before replying. I know you probably know the answer. I know you're excited to jump in and give them the answer. It doesn't matter. You pause 3 to 5 seconds. You come across as more credible and more trustworthy. You're thinking about it. They feel more like a human being. That's important. Because the people that don't pause before replying, the people that cut off somebody in the middle of a sentence with an answer, come across as cocky, arrogant, and condescending. And I know you don't mean to do that. I'm just telling you, as I interview people that you've already talked to or other people have talked to, that's what they say. Usually because you either didn't pause before you're replying or you jumped in. And we see that when we teach objection psychology. You might know the answer to their objection. You cut them off because you're excited to have the answer. It doesn't matter. They need to be heard. You need to ask the questions, just like the doctor. Even though if the doctor already knew, he still has to come in, spend some time, ask the questions, look like he's thinking about it or she's thinking about it, and that's what makes such a huge difference in people's success. I know it sounds like such a trite thing, oh yeah, listening, but I'll tell you what. Wow. Great persuaders listen 3 times more. You do not have not mastered the skill. You have not arrived. You're always working on this skill. No one's ever really taught you to do it the right way. So to kind of recap the keys to effective listening. We're listening with our ears, our eyes, and our heart. Undivided attention. They're the most important person out there. Eye contact. Around 70% of the time. Now, important note there, it's important to mirror and match a little bit here. If you're talking to someone that's giving you hardly any eye contact at all, you'll want to reduce your eye contact. Show sincere interest. Keep the conversation going with questions. Use silence, power, and always pause before replying. Practice that this week. Practice with your kids and coworkers. Just ask questions. Get them to open up. Get them to talk. Tell me more. Really. How did that make you feel? What was a good solution look like to you? Wow, what would you do in my situation? And you're asking open-ended questions. Open-ended questions, is what you're looking for. And practice it again with coworkers or family. It doesn't even have to be a persuasive situation. It could be over the phone. Get someone to talk. Get them to open up. They're going to like you better. It's great practice. You're connecting with them. I'm telling you. I can't say it enough. Great persuaders just can listen. And when you have the ability to ask those questions and listen, they've mapped out everything you need to do and say to persuade them. catalyst and you're just shooting in the dark. It's like throwing darts. Well, maybe you want this, or maybe you want that, and you're hoping one of the darts sticks. When you truly can do this, it makes a big, big difference in your success. Okay, any questions on that?
Kurt, when you were talking about the pause before replying to questions, you cut out a little bit on me. Did you say you're supposed to pause for between 3 to 5 seconds?
Yeah, on average, 3 to 5 seconds. Now, you don't want to say to yourself 1,001, 1,000, or yeah, wow, that probably would be bad if they heard you counting. I wouldn't recommend that. But on average, and you can kind of feel it, it's about 3 to 5 seconds, and it's more that you're contemplating, you're thinking about it. They're important. Just that little thing that you add goes a long way in your ability to connect and that trust level that you're really concerned about them. When you just jump in, even though you know the answer, you jump in, that's when it triggers that condescending or arrogant, the arrogant part. So 3 to 5 seconds, yeah.
Would you say that that would stay constant when you're talking to somebody on the phone also?
Absolutely.
Because on the phone, it wouldn't seem awkward to have that 3 to 5 second pause between before you get back to them?
No, for some reason humans, we feel awkward when there's silence. And that's why silence is so powerful for you as a persuader, because people keep talking. But when the other person's hearing it, it doesn't sound awkward to them. Again, don't want to make it sound too long. You're thinking about it like, well, you can even say, or well, or maybe even have a little filler type thing there so they know you're there. And you know you've gone too long when they say, are you still there? You've probably gone a little too long. But, yeah, I would definitely do it over the phone, the same type of thing.
Thank you.
You bet.
I could really see how this would really help with pacing your conversation with somebody.
It does.
You know, like,
and you get,
so that you don't rapid-fire them.
And it does. And you're listening, and you're coming across, not as a salesperson, as a consultant. And you've heard this before, that the one that asks the questions controls the conversation. So if you ever feel like you've lost control of a conversation face-to-face or over the phone, ask a question. Ask a question. We are, every time you ask a question, the way our brains are the way they work, every time a question is asked, it gets answered. Now, it could be mentally, but we've been trained our whole life, question, you answer, question, you answer. That's why it's so powerful, not only to answer a question with a question, but to have the ability to ask good questions, good open-ended questions, to get them to think. I wouldn't do closed-ended questions unless you know the answer. Like, do you want to become financially independent? I probably know the answer to that one for most people, but for the most part, if you're trying to get information from people, you want to stick with the open-ended questions. Good questions. All right, next question? Anybody?
Kurt, you said something about when you're truly listening, and I didn't catch the last part of that. Do you know what you were saying? You don't prejudge people, and then you went into when you're truly listening, and I didn't catch that.
Well, when they truly feel that you're listening, and what it does, it opens the door to persuasion, but you come across as more empathetic and more trustworthy.
Okay, great.
You're the consultant here. Is it real estate, whatever it is? You are the consultant. You are the expert. And you need to ask questions to be able to consult, to be able to solve their problem. We need to have a consult, just like a doctor. Does this hurt? What about this? What about this happens? And then they're going to ask you a bunch of questions to diagnose exactly what you have, and that's what you're doing in persuasion, is you're diagnosing them.
Okay, thank you.
Next question? I'm getting one sent to me. I mentioned earlier the question's about deception. Now, that's a whole other topic we can spend some time talking about, detecting deception. We spent 3-4 hours that in a live training event teaching that, not so people lie better, but to understand when people are lying. The eyes do tend to tell you. Now, it's not 100%, but the dilation part's one thing. But the question's about where the eyes go when they lie. They've heard before that you can tell when someone's lying by the way their eyes move. Now, let me explain this. Your eyes are pretty powerful. They can tell you a lot about the person. It's not 100%, and this is usually for right-handed people, okay, the way our eyes move, the way we recall information. Now, first of all, that when somebody is a like a visual type person, the what you're looking at is when you look at somebody, so as you look at somebody, and if their eyes go up and to the left, that would be the, again, I'm simplifying a three-hour lecture here, but when you look at someone, their eyes go up and to the left, that means they're recreating, they're creating something that hasn't existed before. That's just kind of how we're programmed. Again, not 100%, but it's right a lot. Because when we learn detecting deception, you're not looking just for one thing. You're looking for what we call clusters, one or two or three different things that change, and so that's a big indicator that they're lying. So on the eyes, again, simplifying a complicated thing here, when you're looking at them, when they go up and to the left, try this with your children, they are creating something that hasn't happened. Now, when they look up and to the right, what that means is they're remembering something visually, something that happened. They're trying to remember, the replaying in their brain. Up and to the left, they're making it up, and it hasn't really happened.
Is that their right or your right?
It's your, well, your left. As you're looking at them, they're going up into your left.
Okay, so if you, they are lying up into their left?
Your left.
My left, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So as you're looking at them, so they're going to your left if they're lying, up and to the left, yeah. Or for most people, anywhere, even if it's straight over to the left, going to the left is usually a red flag. Again, only one of the red flags that you're looking for. And you don't want to be at a door with doing real estate and they go up and to the left and go, liar! And that wouldn't help your persuasion ability much, but it does tell you to be a little more cautious. Good question. All right, any other questions? Anything you're running into out there that we can help you out with? Couple things, question call it, about listening. I mentioned listening with your eyes. Let me explain that is you need to learn to read people like a book, and you really can. Most people don't because they're so concerned about themselves. But you can learn to read people like a book. The two big ones that I would really want you to take a look at is, let me ask the group, How do you know when somebody is indifferent to you? What kind of nonverbal gestures would you be looking for?
Lack of eye contact?
Yeah, lack of eye contact or a decrease in eye contact. Now, looking at their watch, looking at the clock, looking around would be one. Okay, that would be one. If you're looking for a couple different things, what would be another one you'd be looking for?
Taking a step back.
Yeah, step back. Arms might be folded behind their neck. You'll see an increase in squirming a little bit. That's what people tend to do when they're indifferent and ready to run, and they're just kind of giving you the time they want to leave. The one interesting one that you can notice is that when people are indifferent, they look older. What happens is they're done. There's no emotions, positive or negative, and their facial muscles tend to hang a little bit because there's no movement, there's no emotion. And so they tend to look a little older, or there's just not a lot of emotion in their face. They've just tuned out, they're done, they're indifferent. That would be listening with your eyes. Now, when that happens, it's a time to either ask a question or to tell a story. Stories will grab people's attention and a question. Now, and if that doesn't do it, it's time to move on and say to yourself, some will, some won't, so what, who's next? You've heard that phrase before. Now, on the flip side of that, how can you tell when somebody's interested in what you're saying and it's time to shut up and ask for their business? What would you be looking for?
Somebody's asking you questions.
Good. Okay, so you're looking for buying questions. When they say, can I pay today, you don't want to keep going with your presentation. Okay, I know that sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised. Well, I haven't told you about this yet. No, no. You get the payment. So that would be one, or could we close in 30 days? Can I put a bigger down payment down? Those would be questions, so you'd want to be looking for those. What else would you be looking for?
If somebody says they don't need to hear the compensation plan, you've understood it, and they keep going on the compensation plan?
Yeah, if they're asking about it and they understand it, that signs they're interested in it. And sometimes you'll even know that they're leaning tend to sparkle a little bit. They might even look a little moister. Their head will start to nod up and down a little bit. Now, it's a subtle thing. If you're not looking, you're not going to see their head nod a little up and down. But if you're looking for it, you can see it. Their voice will sound interested. They'll ask buying questions. Because in the call to action, or what they call the close, most people spend way too much time. The close, the time when you ask for their money, should only be about 5% of your presentation. It shouldn't shock them that you're going to ask them for money. You're persuading the whole time, but people are so nervous about it, they take way too long. So take a look. You're listening into your eyes. You're looking for the nonverbals. You're listening with your heart. You're getting a feeling for your instinct. Are they lying to you? Are they really mean what they say? And then you're listening with your ears based on the formula that we talked about today. Now, the interesting note, when you look at the symbol of listening in Chinese, when you really break apart the little symbols, it has the symbol of ear, it has the symbol of heart, it has the symbol of eye, all multiplied by 10. That's the symbol for listening, when you're truly listening. Because I know you have to know how to hear. We can all hear. I'm talking about truly listening, which opens the door to persuasion, increases your empathy and your trustworthiness. Good question. Any other questions? All right. So this week, that's why we're doing this. This is your tool this week. This is what you're working on. Whether it's over the phone, whether it's just a generic conversation at work, whether it's with your children, you get them to talk as long as possible. And you listen. Now, I know you have a lot of things to do and you're busy. I know that. But this is how we practice the skill. You get people to talk and to open up. Listening's powerful. Gets people to instantly like you. If you read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, one of the chapters is listening. People like you. I was on a flight from New York City to John F. Kennedy Airport. I'm sorry, John F. Kennedy to LAX. It's a long plane flight. And for some reason, I was born with a sign on my forehead that says, "Hi, tell me your life story." Okay, I've tried to get rid of it, but it's there. So people tell me their life story. So I'm on an airplane, and this guy's telling me his life story. And I was listening, and I was saying, uh-huh, and I was pausing. And he talked a lot the whole time. And it was pretty interesting, and he was actually a good business contact to have. And he talked, I would say, probably 85, 90% of the time. He was talking. And this is what happened. We came in for a landing in Los Angeles. He turns to me and he says, "Kurt, that's one of the best conversations I've had in years. And you're one of the most interesting people I've ever met." I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say that. You don't even know me. You hardly knew anything about me, but would you want them to open up? Especially when you're talking to an amiable type personality, a people person. I know this is hard for your analytical types because you're like, well, I don't have time for this. Why would we spend 10 minutes chit-chatting? Your goal is to help, is to persuade people how they like to be persuaded. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. It doesn't matter if you think it's a waste of time or not. If it's worth, $50,000 to you in a real estate deal or getting someone into your network marketing company, it is worth your time. Period. So practice it this week with everybody that you meet. Get them to talk. Your goal is to get them to talk as long as possible. Questions, listening, pausing, use the formula that we talked about today. Okay? Any other questions before we let you go for the week? Anything particular you want to talk about in upcoming week?
Kurt, I'm trying to find a job. Are there any powerful words that you would suggest to use?
Well, word choice is critical as far as reviewing verbal packaging, verbal packaging and magnetic persuasion. You want to stay away from if, probably use when. The key with a job interview is when you talk, you want to talk like they've already hired you. You're already working there. It's called a presupposition. That's the big part. If you can make sure that you're not, and this is not, you can't do this every time, make sure you're either, try to be either first or last in the interview process, because the people in the middle sometimes get all muddled together. And if you really want to be creative, and I don't know how honest or ethical this is, have somebody go before you that's a complete moron, and you'll look better. Okay? I don't know if you can pull that off, but it's proven that that does work in anything, because we're always comparing and contrasting the person right before or right after the person. And I don't know if you have even the rights to do that. If you get there at least first in the morning or last in the day, so at least that day you're standing out. and be able to talk you through. Now, reality is with most jobs, they can train you for whatever they need to do. They're looking for people that are upbeat, optimistic people are hired much faster than pessimistic people, happier people, that's part of optimism, having a good attitude. Don't belittle or badmouth past bosses or companies that you work for. Even though it might be true, be very careful there and keep it upbeat.
Right. Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, you bet. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, Kurt, I was just wondering if you had these recorded at all. Is that possible?
It depends. Are you a nice person?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
I'm kidding you. No, that's a great question. They are posted. They'll go to PersuasionIQ, PersuasionIQ.com, and then do a slash Kurt Call, KURTCALL. It takes them a couple days to post them, but if you want to review them, go to put some past phone calls. I think they keep at least 4 to 5 weeks up there that you can listen to, or if you miss them, you know, every once in a while you'll miss a call, that you're more than welcome to do that. So PersuasionIQ.com/Kurt, KURTCALL, Kurt Call.
PersuasionIQ.com is your website then?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
And if you want to review the listening skills, there's some in the psychology of the psychology of objections, MP3s, there's some there that will help you out talking about the psychology of objections. We'll talk a lot about the listening skills if you want to get some more information on that. And then verbal packaging is a one of the laws of persuasion. That's under the magnetic persuasion CDs if you want further information. All right, good stuff. Well, everyone, have an incredible week. Remember your homework this week. Practice it a little bit every day. So, that again, if you just practice a little bit every day, by the end of the week, it's going to become a tool that you know. Then we'll add another tool next Wednesday. All right?
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
All right, everyone, have a great week. Get some massive success under your belt, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kurt.
You bet. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
See ya.